Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers are presented by Progressive Insurance. J. Will with the day off. So we're talking in the last segment about the greatest, you know, because Tom Brady is producing and he has a role in this new road trip movie. Lily Tomlin and Sally Field and a few other women, four friends on a road trip to go see Tom Brady playing the Super Bowl, and it was the Super Bowl where he came back on the Atlanta Falcons. And so it got us to thinking greatest acting careers of any athlete ever, and Key just gave his list, and there's some people who want to weigh in, Key.
Mm.
Marty in North Carolina thinks he omitted one or two people. What's up, Marty?
Or not.
Marty in North Carolina may or may not be there.
Hey, I'm here.
There it is.
I'm here.
What did I miss, Marty?
Hey, man, you missed probably right off the top, out your way, Terry Crews, Craig and Day-Day.
Yeah, but it's not. It's more about the careers in that particular. Like, when you think about Ray Allen, for instance, he only was in one movie. But that movie was shocking, playing alongside Denzel Washington for a guy who hadn't acted before. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. What was more powerful, right, Max? Is it Ray Allen's movie or is it Terry Crews'
career? Yeah, Ray Allen's a great
career.
What you just said about Ray Allen is real. He was in a serious film opposite Denzel Washington where as an inexperienced actor, he had to make you suspend disbelief, and he did. That's a big, big thing to do. Let me say something about Terry Crews, though. Key, you ever see the movie Idiocracy?
No, I have not.
He was President Camacho in Idiocracy, perhaps the finest performance in the history of film.
But see, he ain't getting me to the box office, though. I'm sorry. I can't rock with dude like that.
Idiocracy is hilarious, though. Well worth watching.
Can't. He right. Small bits, right? Things that like White Chicks. Like, all I need him is in that little role,
yeah.
A few minutes. I can't watch an hour and 45 minutes of Terry Crews. That's not going to happen.
Andy in Minnesota has one for us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Definitely not top one or two, but maybe top five. Alex Karras definitely has the athlete pedigree. Dad of the TV show Webster and Mongo and maybe the awesomest movie of all time, Blazing Saddles. Has to make the movie there.
Interesting.
I might have missed on that one completely.
Alex Karras.
On purpose.
I'll give you one, Key. I'll give you another one. I mentioned this yesterday. Tony Danza was, before he was an actor, was a professional prize fighter. He was a boxer, and he was a big enough puncher. He was never world class, but he was a real punching prospect. Like, none of his fights went the distance, including the ones he lost, but he knocked out everyone that he beat. And big right hand, and fought on a Muhammad Ali undercard. Like, was good enough for that. So that kind of counts. I don't know. Danza had a pretty good career.
Yeah, but I didn't remember how many movies or television shows that I've watched with Tony Danza that I would remember.
He was
this
in
has
got
to be memorable things for me.
Yeah. He was in, I'm forgetting the name of the TV show, but it was a hit sitcom for years and years and years, and he had a couple of flicks.
It's
too.
Just like Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? He is a bodybuilder, and some people would say, well, that's not sports. Mm. Well, yes and no, because they're going to show the bodybuilding contest on sports stations. On top of that, they get medals. I mean, it's just – so I look at it, and I'm like, because if that's the case – he's the number one guy on my list. The Rock is not number one. It's for sure Arnold Schwarzenegger, for sure.
By the way, Tony Danza, it was, what was the name of the sitcom again? Because Now I'm forgetting. Who's the Boss? Who's the Boss was the name of the
Who's the Boss?
But yeah, that was around forever. And he had some flicks, too. Angels in the Outfield he was in, according to Evan. She's Out of Control, I remember. I think She's Out of Control. Like, he plays the dad of, you know, it's one of those Ugly Duckling movies where actually she's beautiful and it's obvious, but she has, like, glasses and braces and eventually takes the glasses and braces off. And everyone's like, oh, my God.
Are we missing anybody, Evan? Or anything?
Rudy in New Orleans.
We got calls. Let's
Rudy in New Orleans thinks we're missing someone. Who you got, Rudy?
Yeah, man. All these great sports minds. How y'all forget Burt Reynolds, man? Played for Florida State. The meme machine, man.
You might have to be on the list, Key. Burt Reynolds might have to be on the list.
We talked about it. We talked about Burt Reynolds, and we know he was roommates with Lee Corso, and we get it. I mean, Sally Fields is getting a rebirth again with Tom Brady this time. So, I guess. I mean, he could be on the list. Smokey and the Bandit was one of my go-tos as a kid. I wanted a Firebird so bad growing up. I wouldn't touch one now, though.
Burt Reynolds, I think he's got to be in your top.
If I had a top 10, he would be in the top 10.
He'd be in my top 5. That's a good pull, Burt Reynolds. I mean, he was like one
Smokey
of the biggest
and the
movie stars
was,
in the world.
Man, what was the monkey's name?
I don't remember, but remember that the wasn't little monkey? Go-to. Smokey God. And the Bandit was no joke. And The Longest Yard? Come on, it's one of
the
classic films.
Yeah, Smokey and the Bandit was ridiculous, though. I used to religiously watch that.
Yeah, for sure. That was
according
that was a big
to one Clint Eastwood's book, Hollywood Loner, the monkey's name was Clyde the Orangutan.
Clyde was his name.
Ronnie in Memphis. What you got, Ronnie?
Ronnie?
Mark Harmon.
Mark Harmon, yeah.
Mark Harmon, yeah. I thought about him, but again,
TV career.
Yeah, he had more of a television career. It's almost like Merlin Olsen, Little House on the Prairie, television career.
So honorable mention, Mark Harmon.
Yeah, yeah.
Raphael in Florida. What you got, Raphael?
I know we talked about The Rock, but what about John Cena? I mean, you know, he did Daddy's Home, and he was in Bumblebee as well. And, you know, a couple of military movies like The Marine.
But he's not. The problem is he's not The Rock in terms of the movie business. John Cena's just now really kind of getting to a point where you're like, oh, okay, cool. But then you already got The Rock, which came before. So it's almost like, to me, it's a copycat, right? And so when I'm looking at it and I'm looking at the two, I'm like, well, he's just trying to duplicate what The Rock did.
I saw something from John Cena recently. I saw a video, and I don't know how old the video is itself, probably on social media or something, but on like Instagram, maybe something like that. But I saw John Cena talking about how he misunderstood what The Rock was doing once upon a time, and he was critical of him. Hey, why are you doing movies instead of, you know, doing this with me and da-da-da-da? And he said he just didn't understand that The Rock was, like, paving the way for guys like him.
But doesn't it feel like, though, Max, but doesn't it feel like it's like they're trying to duplicate The Rock again a second time around?
Yes,
like, it's like a almost like a spinoff.
Yeah, it's a formula that worked. Why wouldn't they just, you know, go do it?
Because it's you can only have one of The Rocks. You can't have two. You cannot duplicate The Rock.
But even if you're The Rock Light or The Rock Junior, that's pretty good career.
I'm not arguing with that. I'm not having a conversation about that, so to speak. I'm just saying that it's, like you said, like Rock Light. It just doesn't – it's a knockoff. You know, Lay's potato chips versus some potato chips from the brand that we like, that's not – that we don't want that, even
off-brand.
Though it's potatoes. Yeah, off-brand. It's even though it's potatoes
bootleg.
With salt on it. Doesn't feel right.
Friday, it was either Friday 2 or 3. She likes the bootleg snacks with the sparkles or whatever it was.
Yeah, he's like a bootleg Rock, so to speak.
We got time for one more, Evan? Want to slip one in? Ken in Maryland. You're on with Keyshawn and Max here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Matt in North Carolina. Ken isn't there.
Yeah, I love when you guys do this stuff, and I was sitting there screaming – True Lies, when he was talking about it, trying to think of the movie. And last thing, man, you'll always be my favorite Carolina Panther. Appreciate it, guys.
Appreciate
favorite
it. Thank
Carolina
you.
Carolina Panther.
Yeah, 6 weeks. I was there 6 months. I'm his favorite Carolina Panther. I must have did something right in my life.
6 months in Carolina.
You were also my favorite star on Veronica's Closet.
Well, that was part of my acting career. Oh, I could have put myself on this list, too. Huh?
Also on IMDb, he played a player to be named later in Coach.
Yeah, I did that. Coach. Veronica's Closet.
Max, you had a much more prestigious and worthwhile acting career. Creed 2, more of a character actor, I would say. Rocky Balboa. Mm-hmm.
It was a
God's
by the way,
gift and playmakers. You're a real character actor.
Yeah, by the way, very
difficult. Oh, Sharknado 3. Oh, Sharknado, hell no.
Yeah, by the way.
Airman Joseph.
it was a very difficult job in the Creeds and Rocky Balboa, mainly because the script called for an exceedingly handsome broadcaster, so I had to get myself in tip-top shape for that, guys.
Oh, God.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night as the Bucks host the Nets, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Let's get back to the Nets as they begin the second half last night with a blowout loss. So the Nets did lose. Well, I say the Nets lost to the Celtics, but was it really the Nets? No KD. No Kyrie, no Ben Simmons. Is that the Nets? Anyway, they're hoping to get in the zone tomorrow night against the Bucks. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. So we know about the Dr. J, and now Doc Rivers is in Philly. Lots of doctors in Philly. Very educated place. But have you heard of the Shot Doctor? Here's Herb McGee, commonly known as the Shot Doctor, when asked if he'd helped Ben or if he would help Ben Simmons, Herb McGee, head coach at Thomas Jefferson College in Philly, answering that question.
That's not going to happen. That my wife and I, Jerry, when we go out to dinner, we go shopping, we get asked, I get pulled aside, Coach, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure. When are you going to work with Ben Simmons? I said, that's not going to happen. I said, you get the same answer all the time. Brett Brown, I became friends with Brett Brown. He asked me to do it one day, and I said, I will, but you got to ask Ben Simmons. And he never got back to me. So obviously Ben is the type of guy who doesn't really want to improve. So could I help him? Of course. But no, let's be honest. And I've never seen you play, Mike, but you could help him too. Because he really needs it. It's a shame for the kid.
What you think, Key?
I mean, you know me, Max. You know what I would say. He playing to the room. Mm-hmm. The coach is playing to the room. I get it. Yeah. You're a good shooting coach, and you certainly could help, you know, Ben, and Ben maybe didn't want to listen at the time. Again, it's how you approach someone, how you send that message and communication to get that person to feel comfortable enough to want to work with you. But right there, he's playing to the room. You know, you trying to kick the man white down. I get it. It's Philly. It's a deal. You screwed us over. Get him, you know. I understand. Let the dogs out on him.
But you know what, Key? I hear you. But when he said something to me that I thought, like, he's right about that. He's like, he says to someone in the room, I mean, you could help him. Like, if you've seen this dude shoot. And Key, let me tell you something. What do I know about shooting? But I know this. You know, I take my daughter to Steady Buckets, right? A skills development program in New York, right? And Coach Mackey, Coach Lefty and everything, they use, like, Klay Thompson basic form to show the kids how to shoot, right? And just from watching Ben Simmons, I could watch and go, Ben Simmons jumps up and releases the ball on his way down as though he's fading away from a defender, even when he's not. Like, you're supposed to, he's not shooting at the apex of, like, using his legs and arms in tandem. He's kind of heaving the ball on his way back down. Like, there's simple stuff like that I can see. So when the Shot Doctor is talking about, like, hey, you could help him because that's how bad he shoots, it resonates with me because I'm like, that's how I feel. You know what I mean? Like, if I think I could help the dude, oh, my God, he needs help, Key.
Yeah, no, he does need help, and he should try and get help to fix it. And I'm sure the Brooklyn Nets, whoever their shooting coaches are, or whatever the case is, will be working with him, trying to build that confidence up to get him to take more shots, but also be more efficient when taking them and have a proper form and a proper technique that it requires to knock down buckets. I'm just saying, when he becomes the joke of the party, that's playing to the audience. That's all it is. It's just playing to the audience. He needs to work on his shot, and we all know that, and he knows that.
What about the fact that that the shot doctor is talking about, you know, he was like, Brett Brown reached out and said something, and he said, if, you know, Ben's got to sign off on it, and then, yeah, I'll help him. He needs to hear from the player. Never heard back from either of them.
Because
in other words,
he assumes,
huh?
I was going to say, clearly the player didn't want to deal with the shot doctor.
Right, just because you don't want to deal with a shot doctor doesn't mean that you don't want to learn how to shoot and you're working on it with other people. But
if you remember, Max, several years ago, he reached out to Magic Johnson so Magic could help him. You see what I'm saying? So it's all about communication. He reached out to Magic for Magic to help him with his game because he'd rather deal with Magic than the shot doctor.
But you know what that tells me too, though, Key? Magic's game, I could understand. He already does a lot of that stuff great. He needs help in a certain area where Magic would not be the first guy I would go to, which is just shooting, like his shot form, right? Like, it just seems to me, put it this way, I'm sure you hear the same stuff. He's not putting in the work on his shot. That's what you hear.
Yeah,
you know?
but could it be circumstance, environment? Remember what Perk said, a change of environment can go a long ways if you put in the work. Now, he's got the change of environment. Now, let's see if he put in the work. If he puts in the work, then I don't give a damn what the people in Philadelphia say, because it'll fall back to what I said. Maybe being stuck in Philadelphia where you didn't want to be, you're not really giving it your all. Because for whatever reason, it's messing with your mental capacity. And the best thing for you to do is get yourself out of there.
Well, particularly, I could see that being the case when the only team player on the team better than you is a contemporary of yours. It's not like this dude is a veteran. He's been around a lot longer than me. Like, in other words, if you see that other guy as on your level and yet you feel that the team is doing what he wants to do, you might be like, I'm not into this. When he goes to the Nets, Kevin Durant is there. It's not like Ben Simmons can say, man, you don't know what it's like to be a 6'10" dude with these skills, because actually KD does. He's much better than Ben Simmons, and he's even taller, actually, and also not a big, really, right? Like, just like Ben Simmons. And he's a champion and a scoring champion, an MVP and a finals MVP.
Much better to be with him than to be with the people in Philly if I'm Ben Simmons.
No doubt. And also, I think from Ben Simmons' ego's point of view, easier to listen to that guy, right?
Absolutely. Look, man, you brought that up, right? Mm-hmm. You said to yourself, you know, ego. Mm-hmm. So as a football player, you want to learn how to run routes and do all the right stuff. So you, with your contemporary, and you're like, man, I'd rather go listen to Jerry Rice than to listen to Chris Carter, for instance, because Jerry Rice is Kevin Durant and all for everything. In the end, you listen to a guy that you look at and say, he's really the guy. He's the GOAT.
He's where I want to get to.
He's where I want to get to. You know, I'm already at Chris Carter's level. That's how you're like, oh, I'm already over there. But that dude, 80, I want to talk to him. And maybe that's the way Ben Simmons looked at it. It's like, I'm not listening to some people in Philadelphia. They don't know what they're talking about, but it's easier to listen to Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant's going to work with him because he knows what the problems are for him based on size and everything you just said. Like, walking up to him and telling him, this is how you do this, or this is how you shoot that. You watch what I tell you. Watch Ben Simmons' offensive game change now that he's in Brooklyn. You watch.
By the way, speaking of KD, a lot easier for KD to do that, in my opinion, if he's actually playing, right? Not to mention, I don't want to hear about the Nets got blown out again. No team has ever – the Nets haven't played yet. These Nets have not played yet. KD hasn't been on the court. And speaking of KD, Steve Nash, when can we see him on the court? Could he return against the Milwaukee Bucks?
I suppose it's not out of the question, but we'd have to assess, you know, how he comes through today, tomorrow, and see where he's at Saturday. So it's probably less likely that he would play. But I think in the next three games, there's a good chance he's out there.
That's big news, Key. Getting KD back is big news. It's like Roy Jones, great middleweight through light heavyweight champion, had a song out, Y'all Must Have Forgot. Like, everyone's talking about, is it Embiid or Jokic or Giannis or this one or that one, right? Y'all must have forgot. Once KD gets back on the court, Key, I don't know if we're going to be talking about everyone else as potentially the best player in basketball, and I think the Nets losing ends right there.
You know, how much – so what is it, 20 games ago?
20 and change, right?
20 and change. Yeah. So how many games does KD need to play? How many games do KD need to play alongside – well, he's only going to get a handful with Kyrie and Ben because of the road, and unless the mandate gets lifted here soon. How many games do you think they need to be together
before you really sign them off? You want to hear something crazy? I really think the number could be as low as half a dozen based on the way it came together last year when Harden got there. Like, I was thinking, what about the team defense? Remember, it was the worst defense of all time? Key, within 2 weeks, which is what, six games? The defense was okay. You know what I mean? Like, maybe a half dozen games? Maybe a dozen? Maybe not even?
Mm.
Right? What would you say?
I would think 10 games is probably enough.
All right.
I would say 10 games is enough. You know, if you can get five of those games, six of those games on the road, and then another with Ben at home, depending on whether the mandate is lifted, another three to four with just Ben at home, I think that's enough.
Getting KD back could be big news for the Nets.
Because I'm correct, I wish Jay was here right now, he can practice at their facility, or does he have to wait, Kyrie, this is, to get into shoot around when they go on the road. Do you know that or not, Max?
I don't know that offhand, but I would imagine there's nothing stopping him from getting into shoot around since the Nets changed their position on it on the road, right? Why would anything stop
him? At home.
Oh, at home.
Yeah, so I'm thinking of practice. I'm thinking of getting into practice repetitions while they're at home, for instance. They play on a Wednesday night, but they got practice on a Monday, but the practice is at the home stadium or at Barclays or something like that.
It's going to be interesting because what really unlocked the Nets last year is when Kyrie went to Harden, you run point, right? And that really, it was like, oh, my God, this is unstoppable. I wonder if that happens here. You know, Ben will be in the dunker spot and this and that. No, but what if Kyrie is like, you know what? He's a pure point guard and I'm more of a scorer and it's Simmons running point. That's going to be interesting.
That could happen.
It could easily happen.
And they're going to lay off of Ben and let him shoot.
That's okay because there's Seth Curry, and then eventually you think Joe Harris and KD and Kyrie out there. Nothing but shooters. By the way, another sport for you know, looking for even bigger news this weekend, we got to get into that.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We are joined now by Jeff Passan, the ESPN Senior Major League Baseball Insider. Jeff, for crying out loud, baseball, don't do it to me. So you're going to get us...
Baseball's going to do it to you, Max.
Oh, for crying out loud. Why is this weekend so important when it comes to Major League Baseball starting the season on time, Jeff?
Well, MLB is threatening, Max, if there is not a deal by Monday for a new collective bargaining agreement, that it will cancel regular season games. Now, do we know that that's true? No, we don't. I mean, there's always deals to be made. But it's a bad situation right now because what we're doing is waiting for one side to make a big move. And both sides are like, well, no, the other one needs to do it. No, the other one needs to do it. And nobody is stepping up and saying, okay, these negotiations are going to move forward because the players are angry and frustrated at how they've been treated over the last couple of years in terms of everything from salary service time manipulation to their average salaries going down to tanking and the anti-competitive nature of that. The players are mad right now, but the owners are like, hey, we've got the better hand in this situation, so why should we be the ones to move on it?
Jeff, what's the biggest sticking point, though, in this deal? Deals are always tough to do, but if deadline is Monday, could they get something done shortly after that?
Key, the biggest sticking point is all of them. Like, they're just extremely far apart. And some of those are bridgeable, right? Like, the league's offer for a minimum salary of $640,000, the union's is $775,000. That's one of those where you figure, you know, I don't know if it's in the middle, but somewhere close to it. You know, the pre-arbitration bonus pool, the league is at $20 million, $25 million, somewhere in that range, and the union is at $100 million. Again, somewhere probably closer to the owners, but somewhere in the middle. The biggest one, though, is the competitive balance tax or the luxury tax. Right now, the league is at $214 million, which is only $4 million higher than it last was, and there are more penalties and taxes in place, so you can argue, and rightly, that this is actually a worse CBT for the players than the last one. The players are at $245 million right now, with $7 million increases every year, and that's the issue that, at least for the last two collective bargaining negotiations, has waited to the end, because the players rightly look at it like, you guys don't have a salary cap, but this thing sure acts like one.
Jeff, what has changed in baseball? Is it the marginalization culturally of the sport? Is it the recognition that it's largely a local sport? In other words, I care about the Yankees, but not the San Diego Padres, but I do care about the Chargers, for example, if I follow the NFL. What has changed where the players, up until the last CBA, were beating the owners like a drum for decades? And now suddenly, I don't disagree with the analysis that the owners have the upper hand. What changed?
You know, I think the characterization is a little bit off there, Max, because it wasn't just the last one. It was the one before that.
Okay.
And it was going back to 2002 when the CBT got implemented. And, you know, the first trial run of the CBT back in 1997, which was ostensibly put in place to keep the Yankees from spending way, 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 way more than everyone. Now,
which they never did, by the way. That was always a kind of a straw man.
I appreciate you making that point because I think that's lost on a lot of people. And beyond that, Max, it's what it's turned into. The CBT was $210 million last year. The Dodgers went over and the Padres went over. There were five teams within $3.4 million of it. If you're telling me that baseball doesn't have a cap, I would say you are telling the truth, but not the whole story. And I think over time, it's not that the union got complacent. It's I think that the union recognized that the sport was doing really well financially and that they were taking part in this financial resurgence that baseball saw after the 1994 strike. Well, I think 10 years ago, that's the turning point to me. 10 years ago, there were things that were put in place, especially, you know, we don't know unintended consequences at the time. Mm. Who would have ever thought that tanking would come about because of something you did in the draft? But Major League Baseball more or less capped what you can spend in the amateur draft. And because of that, teams recognized we can't go out there and go and draft guys and overpay them in later rounds anymore. We have to lose in order to get the best draft picks. And all of a sudden, you saw the Houston Astros. You saw the Chicago Cubs. You see right now the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Baltimore Orioles. This sort of thing is pervasive in baseball. It started in baseball. It was perfected in baseball. And it's, you know, when you have teams, a number of teams out there every year that are saying not only are we not going to win, but we're going to lose, the financial ramifications of that are enormous.
It kills me.
Jeff Passan, ESPN senior. Here's that again. Major League Baseball insider here on ESPN joining on Keyshawn.
Hey, Key, can I tell you something? I just muted the speaker here in the car, turned to my 14-year-old and said, hey, that's Keyshawn Johnson. And his face, he was so happy that I was actually talking to Keyshawn Johnson. So he still got resonance.
What's his name?
Jack.
Jack, all right. That's my new best friend joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. So, Jeff, let me ask you this question, though. Should we believe MLB when they say we're not going to entertain making up games? Should we like believe that, or is that just a, you know, smoke?
It's a question I've been asking myself a lot, because that's a pretty bold lie to just throw out there. Like, let's toy with fans' emotions and say we're going to cancel games, but when it gets to that point, nah, we're not going to do it. So I tend to think that, yes, they are going to be canceling games if there's not a deal. But the question is at that point, like, you think if games get canceled, boy, this thing's going to stretch on for a long time. There's another period about a week later, to me, that leaves a landing spot for a deal. And that landing spot is with expanded playoffs, because the players, remember, are the ones who are going to give the thumbs up to expanded playoffs. And that's something that's worth well over $100 million. So it becomes a math problem to me at that point. Like, if the players say, we will only play if you pay us for 162, and the owners say, well, we're only playing 154, is the $100 million in playoffs enough of a carrot to get them to that 162 pay for 154. Remember, Major League Baseball did, I believe, offer last year 162 pay for 156 games because there were some concerns about COVID. The union turned that down because there were other things attached to it, like expanded playoffs. So this is a trade that's, like, theoretically been out there before. So if we get to Monday and there's no deal, I'm not sitting here and saying at this point the season is doomed or we're going to be here for a really, really long time and this is going to be disastrous. I still think there's a little bit of runway for this thing to play out.
Oh, I hope so, because the numbers really matter in baseball, even across the eras. And already with COVID, you had a 60-game season, and I think of 94, 95 with those truncated seasons. Guys, I think, like, David Cone, who are never going to make the Hall of Fame because they missed the full seasons of the prime of their careers. It kills me. But Jeff Passan brings it as always. Thank you, Jeff.
And Jack.
That's right. Jack, you got a new best friend in Keyshawn Johnson.
It's my BFF.
You tell us the best athletes in movies. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two,
Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
So, Key, you had a real ranking earlier in the show in honor of Tom Brady producing and acting in an upcoming film about his comeback against the Falcons. Really, it's a road trip. Four older ladies, Lily Tomlin and Sally Fields, some great actresses, are on a road trip to go see Tom Brady playing the Super Bowl when he came all the way back. But it got us to thinking about the top five athletes' acting careers, like the best acting careers ever among athletes. And you want to go through the list again?
Yeah, I put a list together, and I may have left some people off, but at six, I had Carl Weathers. At five, I had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. At four, I had O.J. Simpson. And then at three, Michael Jordan. Two, Ray Allen, and one, The Rock. But I reserve the right to add a bonus, which goes in front of The Rock, which is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, if bodybuilding can't. Bodybuilding
if bodybuild,
can't?
It is on this list.
Well, if bodybuilding counts, Arnold got to be number one.
Yeah, so I'm going to just throw him in there for fun of it. But if you could throw out the number and get some people calling in and just see if the list works for him or
not. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. At number six, Key has Carl Weathers. Five, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Four, well, you have it, O.J. Simpson, but as I said earlier, don't get fired on Jay's day off, Key. Let's move right along. At three, Michael Jordan, Space Jam. At two, Ray Allen. And at one, The Rock. And at one prime, Arnold Schwarzenegger. But you had dudes like Bubba Smith from Police Academy and Merlin Olsen, Little House on the Prairie, and Jim Brown and all the stuff he's been. And I'd mentioned Andre the Giant. He was in Princess Bride. Anybody want a peanut? Delby in Ontario, Key, has one that we missed. What's up, Delby?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's happening?
Okay, so the guy that I was thinking played Tonto with the Lone Ranger by the name of Jay Silverheels.
Mm.
Also, his real name was Harry Smith, but his stage name was Jay Silverheels from Six Nations.
And what did he play?
He played lacrosse.
He actually played
for the 1932 Atlantic City Indians. So this is way back in the day. And even the funny story, how he...
What's that?
Tonto.
Yeah, even there might be like the funny story how he got the name Jay Silverheels is because his name was Harry Smith, but apparently they played really well. Their manager bought them new shoes, and they were white shoes, and he was really fast, so he could run really well, and I guess it was just like a white blur of like seeing his feet, so they called him White Heels, but they couldn't call him White Heels at the time, so that's how he got his stage name is Jay Silverheels.
Mm. Yeah, back in the day, the Lone Ranger, I think the idea was it was like kind of progressive that the Lone Ranger and you know Native American together, Tonto, but when you look back, Key, I forgot which comedian has this, it was the same thing every episode. Lone Ranger would have like Tonto go check stuff out.
Tonto.
He'd get the hell beaten out of him, right? And then they figure like, but it
didn't
was always,
figure it out.
Yeah, then they figure it out after. Mario in Memphis, who you got?
Yo, man, y'all forgetting about my boy Terry Crews, man. The greatest
man, if y'all
football
don't stop
actor
calling,
of all time, man. That's
if y'all first. Don't stop calling this show telling me nothing about no Terry Crews, man. I ain't rocking Terry Crews like that.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, but President Camacho in Idiocracy is one of the all-time greats.
I can only take Terry Crews in a small little bite. Mm. I can't give him an hour 30, man. I just can't.
He wasn't the star of the movie. He had a great performance in it, though. All right. Matt in Iowa has one, Key, that we really missed.
Bob Uecker.
Bob Uecker. I mean, just from the commercial. What movies was he in, though?
Major League, obviously.
Major
right,
League.
Right, just
that's
a bit
an
outside.
Iconic role. It was. That's like one of the most iconic roles you can get as an athlete, right?
It was just a bit outside, no doubt about it.
But I don't remember him as an athlete.
Oh, yeah. He was a baseball player.
I know that, but I don't remember him.
Most people don't. As Bob Uecker would tell you, he wasn't a very good one.
That's what I'm saying, though, Evan. So how could I possibly put Bob Uecker on the list? This must be baseball.
If you didn't even know he played anything. Well, I'm looking Bob Uecker up right
that's
now.
That's how iconic of a role it was, though, right? You know him from that. You don't know him from playing baseball.
I know him. Yeah. I think I know Bob Uecker from the commercials, clearly. And I feel like, did he do the baseball?
Yeah, he was Harry Doyle in Major League, Major League 2, and Major League 3. He was in all of them.
Yeah, just a bit outside, dude.
How about this?
Just a bit outside.
Bob Uecker caught Phil Niekro. And 1 year, he played only 59 games and led the league in pass balls. That season, still top 10 for most pass balls in a season. He played 59 games.
Phil Niekro had the craziest knuckleball of all time and threw a ton of innings, too. So that explains. But, yeah, I'm looking at Uecker now. From 1962 until 1967, got into 297 games and was a catcher. So what do we – ooh. On base of .293, slug .287. But that actually was a super, super defensive era, you know, and he caught.
He still couldn't play defense. Top 10 catchballs in 59 games.
Evan, listen, though. Like, Key, you can't relate to this because you were a great football player and everything. What would you do just to even have Bob Uecker's major league career, right? Just to play in the majors for parts of five different seasons is better than anything I'm going to do in my whole life.
Just baseball, Bob Uecker.
You want to take a real quick one? We got a minute. Brandon in Illinois, what you got for us?
Hey, guys. Sorry about calling in. I think this might be a good one for you. Maybe not. Maybe doesn't qualify. Broadcaster, played a little in high school. Ronald Reagan.
What did he play, though?
He played football.
He played baseball and football.
In high school, though? I think.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, I want to say, Key, it's got to be college at least.
Yeah, I ain't rocking with him. I'm sorry. He ain't going to be able to do it. Not going to be able to do it, coach.
He was a movie star, though, like a B-movie star, but a movie star.
I mean, we left John Wayne off and some other people.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
No Terry Crews. I see that.
I can't do
it. No Ronald Reagan. I got you. I'm starting to see a pattern emerge. Hey, Key, check it out. Key,
Max,
check it out.
Don't go there because Twitter going to go there.
Key, I'm with you, though. I'm with you.
I don't rock with dude like that.
I hear you. Still President Camacho, if you haven't seen Idiocracy. He's not the only person in it.
Best role he ever had was White Chicks.
See, you never seen Idiocracy. You got to check it out.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. We'll be right back.